Emmanuel, I never knew that one. Okay, so Dr. Promise Emmanuel Sepoga, he's consultant. Obstetrician, gynecologist, and fertility specialist with SHIP Healthcare, and he's also the vice president for the Fertility
Society of Ghana.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's the one we have added today, and today he's here in all the capacities. He's also a senior lecturer at the University of Ghana Medical School. Doc, good morning and you're welcome.
Good morning and thank you, and a big pleasure to be here.
How are you doing?
I'm very well. I thought I was going to enjoy some of the Ghana month welcome.
Oh.
Is it too early for that?
It's not too early.
It's okay.
In fact, if you're lost, don't worry. Simply, how are you? How's your family? That's what we're saying.
That's right.
Anyway, Doc, so we're having a conversation this morning on age-related fertility decline. And this is being powered by the Fertility Society of Ghana. Usually in March, you highlight some of these things. But why is this important?
Great. Yes, thank you. So as a society, or as a Fertility Society of Ghana, we sit as clinicians and researchers. And as we continue to see patients walk in and out of our doors, we are observing certain trends. And so the general public may not be aware. And so one of the key issues would be this one, because as we grow, fertility function reduces. And so if you do not know, then you're just moving on with your life, trying to achieve your career, fly high, academic qualification, career aspirations, and putting your reproductive function, usually, you know, on the back burner. And before you wake up to it, time is gone. And we've lost a lot of reproductive function, which otherwise can be preventable. And so as a society, we've dedicated this month to create awareness. Knowledge, they said, is what is power. So we can empower our people to make timely, important fertility-related or reproductive life-related decisions, just so we avoid the situations of having to make much more difficult decisions in the future. For instance, when the woman has become a little advanced in age and what we call egg reserves have become nearly all gone, and yet we need to help her have a baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the basic thing I think we all know and we have heard that this thing about the biological clock and it's ticking and all that. So we know this, like it's quite basic that you know, as you grow, you may not even be able to have very healthy kids and all of those. But then I'm wondering again, and you've answered that, why it has really become necessary, and it is born out of, you know, like you're saying, patients you have seen over the period, your researches, and you're realizing that. So what, this is on the increase. People are presenting very late, wanting to have babies.
Correct. And it is seemingly worsening.
I see.
And there are somewhat good reasons, because people are pursuing career.
And that's what you found out. You ask questions.
Yes. So a lot of career and professional pursuits. You know, you want to fly high in your career. And so unconsciously, you put your reproductive life on hold, sort of, hoping that when you are done, you go for it.
Mm.
But it's not like that. You know, it's not that simple. And so, when we say a couple has infertility, it means they've been trying to conceive for about a year and it hasn't happened. But if the woman in that couple is 35 years or more and they have tried for 6 months, then that is infertility, okay?
Oh, I see.
Yes. And the 35 years is an important landmark for us.
So now from 35 years,
mm-hmm. if you have tried conceiving for six months and it hasn't happened, then we take that. This is infertility.
Doc, let's take it step by step.
Yeah.
So 35 years, you've tried to conceive for 6 months. What should you have tried?
Oh, if you're able to tell when you are ovulating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So having your regular unprotected sexual intimacy, you know, at least. Assuming you're unable to tell to track your ovulation, mm-hmm. then we say at least 3 times a week okay. is satisfactory.
Okay.
To make you get pregnant, all things being equal. So if you have done that, if you are 35 years yeah. and above,
mm-hmm.
and you've done this for at least six months, and there's no pregnancy, you should not keep waiting.
Or keep trying.
Let's go a step further. Seek help.
So this sets the tone right and makes it, you know, brings it home.
Mm.
If you're 35 and you have, I'm not sure Doc is insisting on you having a partner or having been married, right? But if you're 35 and you have tried, especially so in your case as a woman.
Thank you.
You have tried to have, you have tried to have unprotected sex at least 3 times in a week consistently for 6 months and you haven't gotten pregnant, then you will have to start heading out to the hospital. Okay, that's established.
Mm.
Please, if you have questions, this morning I am enjoying my position because I'm also asking a lot of questions and I am not allowed to be thinking here. 055-1111-997. Please send the questions in now. I'm asking all these questions on your behalf because as for me, I want them up all. So these questions, I am asking them on your behalf. And if you have very specific questions apart from the ones that I will be asking, then 055-1111-997. Please send them in now. Don't wait till about 7:20 and start sending it in. We may not be able to answer it. So send the questions in now. Okay, Doc. So when this happens, and infertility happens in both men and women.
Correct.
But we're focusing on women this morning.
Yes, or, and a little bit on the men as well.
Okay, we'll veer into the men a little bit as well. So if a woman or a couple, if they have done this, as you have said, and they come to visit, what happens from there?
So what happens is mm-hmm. based on what we know.
Okay.
From science.
Okay.
We know that the woman's eggs
mm-hmm.
are limited in number.
Okay.
Let me put it that way. Because the baby girl is born with a pre-packed set number of eggs.
Mm.
Okay. So roughly 2 million eggs the girl is born with.
Okay.
And as she's growing, some are dying off. Up until the girl child attains puberty, when she starts having her menstruation, she's got about approximately 500,000 eggs left.
Oh.
Yes.
Out of the 2 million?
Yes. Okay.
Wow.
So this half a million is what is programmed to take you through the girl's reproductive life.
I see.
Of that 500,000, every month, about 10 to 20 of them are recruited. Out of that, one of them is supposed to develop and ovulate and be potentially fertilizable to become pregnancy. The rest of the 19 approximately will die off. Next month, another 10 to 20 would begin. One ovulates, the rest dies off. Next month. And so the egg reserves are reducing every month, every year.
By either 10 or 20?
Yes, between 10 to 20.
Hey!
You know, and this is what leads to the decline in the female fertility function as she grows.
I see.
Quite apart from that, the woman was born with these eggs, and so as time goes on, mm-hmm. the quality mm-hmm. also reduces. It's like if your egg is fresh today mm-hmm. compared to when it is another couple of years.
Yes.
So by the age of 35 again, the quality has so reduced that there are some genetic problems that become more likely to happen. You know, the things like having babies with some subtle to severe abnormalities, the most common of what we call the Down syndrome. You know,
mm-hmm.
so on the basis of this scientific knowledge,
mm.
when the woman or the couple comes, then we have to investigate, okay? And the investigation runs across the history we take to ask whether at all you've been pregnant before. And what was the outcome of it, how far did it go, how many children, and then we're able to figure out, okay, yours may have something to do with a markedly reduced egg reserve, or the most common problem,
mm-hmm.
which is the cause of infertility in our woman, is from tubal factor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the tubes are, if you imagine them as a pipe that serves as a passageway for the egg to travel down and be met by the sperm.
Mm.
And a lot of our women in this part of the world have tubal problems, and this results from previous pelvic infections, genital tract infections that were either not detected, or the woman herself figured out she had some abnormal discharge and just did some over-the-counter or home remedy without knowing that that infection has gone up to damage the tubes. There's absolutely no way of knowing until years down we're trying to get pregnant and it's not happening.
So the simple things we say, like, oh, you have a discharge, you have candidiasis and all that,
yeah.
can actually lead to some of these things.
Some of it could. And so it wow. is not your place to be able to tell, oh, this is just candida, this is just this.
You have to go see a doctor.
You have to get checked, and so that it is treated properly.
Mm.
You know, because there is some discharge which is normal. In the normal vaginal discharge, it is usually clear to just about cloudy.
Mm-hmm.
It is not so much to wet your underpants.
Yeah.
It does not have any unusual smell. It does not cause any irritation or itching or burning.
Mm.
So anything beyond this is abnormal.
Mm.
Right? If it is offensive, there's a problem. If it is itchy, there's a problem. Mm. If it is colored,
there's a problem.
Yellow, deep yellow, lemon green, deep green, brown.
Doc, you've seen lemon green and deep green.
Yes, the colors I see that I'm talking about.
Hey!
Yes. That's why I didn't mention purple in your studio, because purple is not part.
Ah. You should see Daniela's face.
You know.
Wow.
And all this would signify some form of a disease process or the other. And so you don't sit at home with things like this.
Put salt in hot water, sit on it, and you're fine.
You know, and think you're good. There may be a problem beyond that.
Mm. And this could actually, in the long term, affect your fertility.
Yes, by causing tubal damage.
Wow.
You know, if we take 10 out of, every 10 women with infertility now, 5-6 of them is a tubal factor problem.
Wow.
Yes, that's assuming they are even below 35 years. Then from 35 years and above, on top of the tubal problem, the egg reserves are low, the egg quality is low. Okay?
Now I feel like we should be talking about these things a lot more.
We should.
We should be talking about these things a lot more.
Just so we create the awareness.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. So, if you're listening and you have some of these issues, and especially so maybe you tried something at home and it worked for you, it could just be that it's a, you know, you've given it a superficial treatment. And so it's not late. You'd better start getting to see, you know, a doctor to have you properly checked before it becomes an issue. And then for us in this part of the world, quite often we may have caused these things ourselves, and then we end up, you know, binding devils and blaming our grandparents and all that for it. So let's do the right thing. Good morning, Adam. Please say hello to Dr. Sepulga for me. God bless him for all the wonderful things he's doing for women. And this is from Senam in Lashibi. Doc, I don't know if you know Senam.
Yes, Senam, you thank do. You.
Okay, now, so let me go on to ask. I have a lot of questions coming through, but let me go on. So we've talked about why fertility may decline. You've also helped us to understand that this is backed by science, mm-hmm. by your research, and, you know, people who visit and all that you have observed. So we also established that this could happen in both men and women.
Correct.
How does it really present? Now we see it for the woman.
For the woman.
How does it present in men as well?
Yeah. So, and that's a very good question, because, you know, a lot of the time we tend to put all the focus mm-hmm. on women. And in as much as that has the advantage of us not waiting till things get too late, it also puts undue pressure on the woman, and I must say. You know, and society appears to confer some sort of what we call a cultural diplomatic immunity on the men. And so that if the couple is not conceiving,
then it's a woman.
Everybody points fingers to the woman until we figure it out medically. But then it shouldn't be, because strictly speaking, if you take every 10 couples that are struggling to conceive, the problem could either be the man or the woman in equal measure. And as a matter of fact, these days we're even beginning to see that in our population, a lot more of the men are having issues than the women. The point is, let us not disproportionately focus all the negative attention on the woman. It's a shared problem. So, in men, sperm production begins again from puberty, and it carries on till way later on in life, okay? But from about age 45, there's an important hormone in men that stimulates sperm production. It's called testosterone. Do you want to give that a try?
Testosterone.
Again.
Doc, please.
I'm a classroom.
Doc, I just want to put that with you. Testosterone.
Thank you. So that hormone stimulates all the male reproductive functions, including erection and sperm production. And so from about age 45, in the case of women, testosterone levels begin to decline significantly. And so it takes slightly longer for the man who is 45 years and above to achieve pregnancy with their partner than if they were younger. And then with age, it also reduces. And so the only advantage in the case of men is that it doesn't as much affect the quality as it does in women. But there is some loss of quality also as the man ages.
When you say quality, what do you mean? Is it the quality of the child you may end up having?
Yes, the quality of the sperm.
Okay.
So some tend to have some deep-seated genetic problems which are age-related. I don't want to go too technical. There's something, for instance, we call sperm DNA fragmentation. The DNA, which is the genetic signature in the sperm, can suffer some damage as a result of age and smoking, excessive alcohol, and so many other things. And also, in the mid-40s, when the man is beginning to develop issues like diabetes, hypertension, all those things can have effects on
the sperm quality
and general well-being. And so time to conception, we call it, would reduce in the case of the men beyond 45 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a question here that's speaking directly to what we are discussing. My name is Na. I married at the age of 41, but we had a baby at 38. I want to believe that's when she was 38. My husband and I have been trying to get pregnant for the past 3 years, and nothing has happened. What should we do?
Adam, I think you can even answer. from the notes you've taken so far. Yes. There's certainly a solution.
There is.
Yes.
And there's no one-size-fits-all approach to these things.
Thank you. So you come, we investigate both of you. We'll certainly be able to figure out where the problem is. We fix the problem and the pregnancy follows.
The questions. My wife and I want to get pregnant next month. What do I do to boost my sperm production? I don't drink alcohol though. I don't smoke. What can she also do? In this case, we are talking about these things in relation to age.
Yeah.
It will be interesting, or it will be great if you made us understand how old you are. Because if you are relatively young people in your late 20s, then you should just do what we are saying. Doc, I'm answering the question now.
Yes. The only thing I'll add on is that we encourage generally healthy lifestyle. It's healthy. He said he doesn't drink alcohol, which is good.
Smoke.
Yes. But apart from that, healthy eating, regular exercise, it makes you fitter and sperms a lot more healthier. And then apart from that, like Adam says, you do what you got to do. Because the woman's eggs are of the best quality when she's between 20 to 30 years. And so that is the best time. And for us, we are most happy if everybody would complete having their babies as a woman before 35 years.
Okay.
You know, then the things that we know can happen, we've ruled those out. The rest, if anything, then we can deal with it. But as much as possible, ideally, if possible, that should be the target.
Great. There's a question here, but I'd like to ask you one or two questions before we get to this one. It says, how can I improve the egg quality? How can egg quality in women be improved, especially so as you grow? But ahead of that, I want to find out. Apart from the first question we answered, the very first one about she being 38 or she being 41 and they've been trying for 3 years. So you know that there are age issues there and it needs to be investigated.
Yeah.
But until that dawns on you, what are some of the, symptoms? What would you be seeing to realize that you probably may be having, or what experiences would you be having to make you feel like, okay, I may be having issues when it comes to fertility?
Yeah. So, unfortunately, you're not likely
to
feel or see any obvious overt symptoms.
Okay.
A few persons may be lucky to realize their menstrual cycles are getting a bit irregular. Either the flow, the number of days is reducing compared to what it used to be, or the cycle, you're skipping the menses. You have your flow this month, next month it doesn't come, the next month it comes. These are some of the potential warning signs. But majority wouldn't experience any of these. It is just so when we always say the main issue of concern is the number of your
35.
Age, that number, yeah. So that should be the main thing that should lead us to seek help or take action earlier to prevent problems.
Doc, would you also advise that, I think this is in relation to this question, advise that if you realize that you're 35, before you get pregnant, would you advise that a woman of that age gets checked before they even try to conceive?
So, did you say before marriage?
No, you're 35.
Okay, 35, yes.
And now you want to start, having children.
Yes, so 35... and you now want to start because life circumstances have so made it, or you didn't know and you're already 35. Yes, the check would help us to be able to advise that, yes, you're 35, your egg reserves, the measure we use, there's a specific measure which is supposed to be between 1 and 3, and you're around 1.1 or 0.9. So it tells us that, yes, you're 35 and your levels or your egg reserves are really low, so let's speed up. To that extent, yes, it is good to start to get checked. Or you're 35, but fortunately, when we check, your egg reserves are not bad, 2.4, 2.5. So yes, we're 35 and great. Because the more the reserves, the greater the tendency of having great quality eggs in there compared to if the reserves are already too low. Okay, so there's a place for getting checked, and then we can also recommend some supplements, and that speaks to the next question.
Yeah.
That, to some extent, may help to improve the quality a little bit. A little bit. Just so, because we know that after 35, quality decline is there. But the thing about the quantity, I'm afraid, we don't have solutions
to that.
Because, like I said, you are born with a pre-packed, you know.
So can they finish?
Yes. And that is what happens
when you
hit your menopause.
I see. That one is done.
It's done. You know,
but nothing can be done.
Certainly, there are options to help you get your pregnancy.
Okay.
Yeah. That's when we talk
but
about
why do you even have to get there?
We wish you wouldn't get there. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. I had a question on my mind. Oh, where did this question vanish to? I should have written it down. Okay. Let me move on to ask another question. Mine will come.
Mm.
It's an interesting question I had in mind. Is there any recommendable mechanism to either multiply or increase washed away eggs? And is there any medication or food to also strengthen and energize weakening eggs as age catches up? This is from Isaac.
Yeah. I mean, so these are very useful, practical questions, isn't it? So the thing is, general healthy lifestyle is good for everything, including your eggs and your reproductive function. Beyond that, yes, we have some specific supplements that we recommend for persons, particularly women who are 35 years and above, just so we try as much as possible to see what we can do to optimize the quality of whatever eggs a woman has beyond 35 years, because we are now talking about it. Certainly somebody's already 35 and beyond and will need help. So yeah, there are some supplements we use to improve that. Indeed.
Okay. Very interesting questions. Can you please ask Doc for me? I am 37 and my husband has dry ejaculation due to a surgery he had. I want to get pregnant. What do I do?
Okay.
What is dry ejaculation to start with?
So dry ejaculation, some people use that to refer to when the semen is a fluid that the man releases. And that semen is supposed to contain the sperms, which are living things. And so some situations happen where, as a result of previous surgery or some past infection in the man, the tube that allows a sperm to flow out of the testes is blocked.
Mm.
So there's some secretion that comes as a fluid but does not contain any sperms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in this case, the man is producing the sperms, all right, but they are stuck in the testes. They are not coming out. And that's one of our interest areas. So we did a research recently and we found that we are able to go into the testes to harvest those sperms and use it to fertilize the woman egg.
Wow.
And nearly 52 out of 100 would conceive when we do that. You know, it's called testicular sperm extraction.
Mm.
And we use that to get those special sperms that are very precious and inject it into the egg in order to achieve fertilization.
Right. So what, in this case, nothing can be done for the man to be able to, ejaculate and have the sperms released?
No, because like I said, so whatever comes, the semen is a fluid. And in there, you must have the sperm, which are the living things.
Yeah.
But so that fluid that comes is not all from the testes.
Mm-mm.
As the semen is coming, the fluid joins it before it comes out. So the sperms are stuck in the testes, but the secretions are still able to come from, say, the prostate gland. So the only way we can get those sperms would be do a tiny procedure and get into the testes to remove the sperms and use them to fertilize the eggs. So it's not as if nothing can be done. So nothing can be done to conceive without intervention is what you meant.
Mm.
You know, but there are interventions, fortunately, to solve those problems.
This would be very frustrating for a couple.
For a couple.
Especially if you don't have this knowledge.
Yes.
Mm.
But fortunately, we have solutions. Yeah.
Great. Now, somebody made me remember the question. I was going to say that, Doc. Mm. I want to ask a typical home affairs question.
Yeah.
You know, and then someone just reminded me.
Great.
So, at 35, mm. and I'm sure, I mean, the people who visit you, you would realize that at that age, most of them are not even married. Or they are not even in very serious relationships because of things that they may have found themselves in. School, chasing career, mm. and all that. There's no time to mm. take breaks and all that. And if a person like this visits you, you talked about the measure. And this is like 1 point something. And so we need to act fast. Aren't we promoting, you know, like, okay, go and look for someone to impregnate you and have a baby without building homes and families?
Mm. Now I see the home affairs in the
yes.
question.
Because let me relate it to this question that yeah. we, I mean, you know, brought it up. He says, please, I'm 36 years now, not married, and I have no children. I haven't had any symptoms of fibroids before, but planning to get pregnant before the year ends. Mm. That is whether I am married or not. Please, is there anything medical I am supposed to do before trying to get pregnant in order to have a smooth pregnancy and having a healthy baby at the end of the pregnancy? This is from Regina.
I like the end of the question, you know, because I'll take it from there. We actually want every woman to be healthy before embarking on pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Because a healthy woman who, before getting pregnant, ensures to some extent a healthy pregnancy and a better pregnancy outcome. Which is what brings me to what we talk about as preconception care, which mm-hmm. again is something we don't do.
Yeah.
You know, when you are planning to start having, to start embarking on pregnancy, it's extremely important to see a healthcare person, check your blood pressure, do a few labs, do an ultrasound scan, check to see if there are any things that we need to correct in order to improve the pregnancy journey. Then, your blood pressure is high, it wasn't detected, your blood sugars are high, and you have a baby, and you get pregnant, unfortunately, it affects the formation of the baby. Down the line, we realize that, oh, the baby has no head. Mm. The baby has this major congenital problem. Just because we didn't take those initial steps to get checked and to correct something before. You know, so that's very important. So as she's trying or planning to embark on pregnancy, it's very, very good. We do a general medical check just to make sure you are good or just to correct ABC even before. And in her case, being 36, she would definitely benefit from some supplements, like you said, to improve a bit further the quality of her eggs,
mm.
right?
Mm.
Now, your question... Now, the answer to that is that we're not necessarily promoting single or unplanned family situations, but we are promoting what I would rather refer to as steps towards fertility preservation, if you may. Okay?
Okay.
You are approaching 35, or you are around 35, or you just crossed 35,
mm-hmm.
and there are no signs of Mr. X appearing so soon, or you're not having any stable blah, blah, blah. We have the option to harvest some of the eggs
okay.
and freeze them.
Mm.
Okay? So go through a minor procedure. Every month, the woman is supposed to release one egg, like I mentioned, and then the next month, one egg out of the 10 to 20 that may potentially be fertilizable. So we put in some medication, some injections to make sure that we develop multiple eggs at the same time to see how many of the 10 to 20 that would have gone waste we can rescue. So we can do that and then develop about 10, 12, 15 eggs using medications.
Mm-hmm.
And then we harvest these eggs through some procedure, not so major. So we harvest and we have obtained about 12, 13, 15 eggs, and then we freeze them in your name at them night, day, date of birth, and then this code, and it is yours.
Okay? How long can you freeze the eggs?
So for now, the technology hasn't shown any limits as yet,
okay.
which is a good thing. we've got frozen eggs for the past 10 years, which we're able to use to have babies and more.
Okay.
So with that, we've done this for you at age 35 or 36 or 34 or 33. And then...
Can you do it at an earlier age?
Yes, you can.
Even better, I guess.
Yes. Like you said, the egg qualities are best between the ages of 20 to 30.
Okay.
So once we get this frozen, then you go on, achieve all your career goals, MBA, KBC, Then if at age 42, you are ready, we have 34-year-old eggs. Because once we freeze, the eggs do not age any longer.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And so those eggs are of better quality and give you a better chance of having healthier babies.
Doc, is it just healthy eggs or, you know, good quality eggs that ensures healthy babies? At that age, like it or leave it, you probably are 40, 45. Your eggs have been frozen, so they are still about maybe 32. Mm. Is that enough? How about your age and your personal health?
Yeah, so that's also very important. But looking at the circumstances, that is why I had established that for us, we are most happy if every woman is done having babies by 35.
Okay. Yes.
Because after 35, and apart from the egg-related, egg quality-related issues, egg quantity-related issues, we're also concerned about your general health. Pregnancies that are later on in life tend to be more at risk of problems like hypertension in pregnancy, diabetes in pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
But these, once we know you are in that category, we are a bit more aggressive in looking out for them proactively and dealing with them. We are prepared to take care of them because that is the situation we have. But I have established that as much as possible, if you can, get all done
By 35. Okay. Now, let me add another home affairs angle to this one. Hopefully, as you're frozen your eggs and you're going around, you're also making enough money, like you're getting good money. Because if you have your baby, say, at age 45 or 50, remember in a few years you're going to be on retirement and the economy is not waiting for you. So if you were running around, then let's hope that you were making money
and
investing, yes, so that the child doesn't come to suffer because now you are not working and you don't have money. So the considerations are a lot.
Yeah.
They are a lot.
Yeah. But you see, that said, we, let's, how do I put it? Yeah, we're also happy to know that the technological advancements we have now are making it possible for us to achieve these reproductive goals even later, so that for the woman who is already in the 50s, it's not all lost, right?
Yeah.
It's not all lost.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
all lost.
Yes.
Yeah, because the oldest we've had was 56 years.
Mm.
You know, and she's able to have her baby and she's happy, and so there are people who are in that category already.
Wow.
So it's not all lost, but for those of us who are younger, that's the point. Let's try and make it earlier.
Great. Two questions in one.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Adam. I am 42 and my husband is 48.
Mm.
As I am writing, I am 12 weeks pregnant. Is there any danger ahead of me? This is from Evelyn.
Mm.
Then the next one I saw, oh yes, I have it now. I am 50,
mm-hmm.
my husband is 56,
mm-hmm.
and we need a child. What do we do?
So, let's talk to the 50-year-old, because she's already at 50,
mm-hmm.
and she needs a child. So, like I said, thankfully, the technology available now enables us to help her to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said the oldest we've done so far in Ghana here was about 56. Right. And so there is hope for you at 50. Yeah.
Even if you haven't frozen your eggs earlier?
Yes, even if you have not.
Okay.
Because based on your circumstances, we discuss options, including the use of donor eggs, where we get a donor that would match you, put it that way, and use their eggs with your partner's sperm to fertilize. prepare your womb and you carry your pregnancy and then mm-hmm. have your baby or babies. Okay, so there is there is a way, there's a solution for you, regardless of the age. Now, for the other listener who is 42 and thankfully 12 weeks pregnant, it is great news because not many people are able to conceive spontaneously, like we've discussed, at that age. There are few concerns we have to look out for. Between 12 and 13 weeks, there's some detailed scan we need to do to assess that the baby is all formed well. Just because we have at the back of our heads that at that age, there's a slight increase in the chance of having some issues with the baby. This is not to raise your anxiety. Mm. It is just so we check and assure you and ourselves. Then again, we wait. When we get between 20 to 22 weeks, we do a more detailed anatomy where we check the brain, the spinal cord, the kidneys, the liver, all the organs, and tick that everything is formed and developing well, or no, something is slowing down, so we need to put in some and other interventions either during the pregnancy or prepare for some other interventions at the time of delivery. So it is good. You need to get those close monitoring or surveillance done, and then you are good.
So, Evelyn, on this note, from what Doc has said, we'll say congratulations to you.
Yes.
To start with. And then, I'm not sure Doc has said that certainly you have any danger ahead of you. No. He's just saying that, from your 13th week onwards, some detailed checks will have to be made. From now, exactly. 13, yeah. And then after then, they will even do some more detailed ones. And this is all to ensure that you have a healthy baby. Mm. And so, if your doctor is not talking about it, please tell them that you heard it on Joy FM. Dr. Sepoga says that right now, some detailed checks will have to be made. And so, they will have to do that for you. Otherwise, congratulations, and we're praying that you have, a safe delivery. And please, when baby comes, send a message so that we can come for the naming ceremony. Can you get a woman pregnant?
So the designation azoospermia means that the semen or the seminal fluid we are getting does not contain sperms, the living sperms that we need to fertilize the egg. So we usually will go a step further to see if we can find the cause of this. If we find a cause, some may require some minor surgical procedure to fix, then the problem is solved. On the other hand, it may be due to the fact that you are either not making the sperm cells at all, or you are making the sperm cells but they are stuck in the testes. So if we confirm that you're making the sperms but they are stuck in the testes, then we have this ability to go extract the sperm from the testes.
The one you talked about earlier.
Yes, the TC. If on the other hand, it is from some problem which is not making you able to produce the sperms at all, then the main solution would be to consider the use of donor sperms. Yeah. And of course, adoption.
Wow. Okay.
So there
again,
are solutions.
Not lost.
Yes, there are solutions.
Now, there's a question here that, made my heart sink. Hello, Doc. Good morning. I am 39 and my husband and I are trying for a baby. We've tried for the past 9 years. Mm. We seek for a doctor's advice and we were told it's fibroid. I had surgery thinking that will make me conceive, but it was to no avail. After 3 years, I noticed that when I menstruate, blood comes out from my tummy. I wondered what that is. And the doctor said it's endometriosis. So I should have another surgery. I need your advice. And this is from Ama in Tema.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are some of the practical things we get faced to deal with.
Wow.
So that makes me want to emphasize the fact that if for some reason you have fibroids and it required surgery, you should even prioritize your childbirth higher than somebody who did not have fibroid surgery. Because when we have the fibroid surgery, it means your fibroids are of importance. That is why we needed to remove them. And so once we have the cost to remove the fibroid, let us prioritize childbirth so that you don't get your fibroid surgery done and you are waiting for so many other years. One, some of the tiny fibroids at the time of your initial surgery that were tiny, microscopic, and were not detectable would grow. And because we are seeing a lot of persons who have had a previous fibroid surgery with recurrent fibroids and now difficulty conceiving. So as a society, Fertility Society of Ghana, we want to propagate that. Even we have been telling our colleague doctors that when a woman has needed myomectomy to remove fibroids, let's encourage them to get pregnant sooner rather than wait till later on. Now, so coming back to this issue of our friend who's had a surgery, who's been struggling for 9 years, and unfortunately is down with endometriosis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, endometriosis is one of the difficult issues to deal with, I must say. And
I think she's 49.
She's, 39.
Let me check.
Yes. So what it means is you have endometriosis is when the cells, the tissue that are supposed to be found inside the lining of the womb have developed elsewhere. And it can go anywhere in your body, in your lower abdomen. Sometimes you can have a nodule around your belly button, which is what is happening here. And because those cells are programmed to bleed, just like your menses, so wherever they are, they bleed when it is time to have your menses. And indeed, when that happens, we need surgery. Sometimes we need to remove that swelling at the belly button and then put you on some medication, some injections, some we give every month for a couple of months to suppress these tissues, then quickly see what we can do to get you pregnant. Because the good thing about endometriosis is once you get pregnant, and for the period of 9 months of pregnancy, it's able to suppress further growth of the endometriosis. So yes, that problematic nodule needs to be removed through surgery and then some medications or injections to suppress further development, and then quickly work on getting pregnant.
Okay. I don't want to pretend that I am... I understand everything.
Yeah, but I'm sure
but
she
does. Sounds a bit, you know...
Yeah.
Some way.
It
there's
can be
another
solved.
One.
Yeah.
There's another one. She's 45.
Mm.
Diagnosed with bilateral blockage.
Mm.
She's asking, is her case hopeless? Can I ever conceive and have children of my own?
Certainly. There's certainly a lot of hope. It is never hopeless, no. It is never hopeless.
Is the bilateral blockage the same as the tubal?
Yes, so she has bilateral tubal blockage. And what it means is both tubes, every woman has two tubes you're born with.
Both are blocked.
Both are blocked.
Wow.
So naturally to conceive
is difficult.
But there are some interventions we're even able to do now to flash the tubes open in some cases, right? If we did that and it still would not open, then we go on to other steps of helping to conceive, like the use of artificial assisted reproductive technology like IVF, where because the function of the tube is provide a space where the sperm goes to meet the egg. So if your tubes are blocked, then that travel and meeting cannot happen. We take out the eggs, take the sperm, and fertilize them in the IVF lab to form the pregnancy. Prepare the lining of your womb and put these pregnancies back in there for you. So it is certainly not hopeless.
Okay, Doc. Thank you for that. There's another one. This is an interesting one. It says that nice topic you guys are dealing with, but I have not heard anything about the cost.
Yeah, because we don't talk about cost here, isn't it?
It certainly won't come cheap, will it? Or it doesn't come cheap.
Cheap is relative, Adam.
But so, if you consider the fact that you can actually just, you know, copulate with your partner and get pregnant and not go through all of these,
yeah,
then these interventions won't definitely come at that cost.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. But yes, it's good to know that these solutions are there as a first step, and then we assess on a case-by-case basis. And then it will be suggested, okay, so for yours, A, B, C may be involved. For yours, maybe just A and B. And then the cost estimates are discussed based on each person's case.
Mm.
Yeah. But, I mean, yes, you may think that it will be expensive and unaffordable, but you realize that, no, once people mean business, they are able to find the means.
They're able to find the means.
To fund it, yeah.
Great. So, Doc, when we talk about fertility preservation, is it just about having your eggs frozen?
Certainly not.
Okay.
So, having your eggs frozen in the case of women is one of the options.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not only necessarily because you are afraid that you are growing and you are not able to get a partner now and you want to, you know, safeguard them. Sometimes we have to do that because the youngish woman has been diagnosed of some cancer. Okay. Commonly breast cancer, which is we're increasingly seeing in women below 40 years. And so the woman is below 40. She's been diagnosed of breast cancer. Unfortunately, a lot of our breast cancer cases are detected at an advanced stage, where the treatment may involve the use of some chemotherapy. And the chemotherapy has a tendency to cause damage to the eggs.
Mm.
Okay. And so before you go on the chemo, you'll be referred to us, and then we can talk about some of these fertility preservation options, quickly stimulate you, harvest some eggs and freeze before you go for chemotherapy, just so we have your eggs spared of the dangers of the chemotherapy.
Mm.
That's one of them. Or somebody has some other cancer that may require radiation in the pelvis, and we don't want damage effects of the radiation on the eggs. Quickly have to remove some of the eggs and freeze. So these are all areas for fertility preservation. And we do same for men. The man has been diagnosed of some condition for which he is going to undergo either radiation in the pelvis or some chemotherapy, and we are afraid of the damaging effect or the toxic effect of those on the sperm, we would harvest some of the sperm and freeze. So all that is part of fertility preservation. Sometimes we actually do a bit of surgery and remove a bit of the ovary and keep.
Okay.
So that when you're done with all the chemo or the radiotherapy, then we can implant or transplant that ovary, and then you can have your reproductive function back. So not only for what we call social reasons, but also for other very important medical reasons.
Someone was asking if it's possible to still freeze eggs at age 42.
At age 42, it is possible, but we wish it was earlier. Now, it is possible, or it would be possible, if we check and we're able to tell that, yes, even though you are 42, you still have some good reserve.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So theoretically it's possible, but we need to check first to see if it is possible in your case.
Great.
Yeah.
Yesterday I had a conversation, and I mean, it has to do with, you know, sickle cell.
Mm.
And so I was let into the fact that this woman has a set of twins. I think she and her husband are both AS, so the possibility of having an SS child is in there. But fortunately, the twins, I mean, are all fine. But then she's pregnant again.
Mm-hmm.
And this time around, it's even been detected already that this one is SS, you know. And I'm told she's devastated. So she's carrying the pregnancy and already very devastated, you know. And are there any interventions for couples like that? I have seen, at least I know about three young people who have had to go their separate ways. They were planning to get married up until that point where they were told that, look, the possibility of having an SS child, you know, exists for the two of you because you both are AS, you know. And so they had to go their separate, very painfully, you know, very painfully.
Yeah.
And so are there interventions for couples like that now that, you know, fertility issues are so advanced?
Yeah, certainly there are. There are, because you see, sickle cell is a major problem here. In Ghana, 2% of all newborns have sickle cell.
Oh.
So that's 2 of every 100 babies.
Wow.
Okay. And so it's a problem we have, and it's genetic. There isn't so much we can do about it, but there are things we can do to prevent it from multiplying and continuing. And like you said, so if the couple, each one is AS, each time there is a conception, there is a 1 in 4 chance that the baby will be SS, 2 in 4 chance that it will be AS, 1 in 4 chance of being AA.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
And these are just probabilities. You have absolutely no control
over them.
Okay. It does not mean that when you get pregnant 4 times, 1 will be this, 1 will be, 2 will be this. No. Every pregnancy, these are the possibilities that can play out. Okay. And so fortunately,
so you actually can have all the children 10.